In the 19th century, there was a man by the name of Andrew Carnegie. Some of you may say Carnegie. Depends on where you're from. I'm going to go ahead and explain this because I say Carnegie, and I don't want you to come up to me and say, you don't know how to say that guy's name. If you live in New York, it's Carnegie Hall. But if you're from Western Pennsylvania, it is Carnegie. The university that bears his name and the city that was named after him is Carnegie. He came from Scotland, and the pronunciation of his name in Scotland is Carnegie. Be that as it may, wanted to say that so I can go on and say it, because I know I'll say Carnegie, and I figure you'll be thinking I'm making a mistake. But anyway, he was very rich. He died in 1919, and he was an American industrialist. He was into the steel industry, and at the time was one of the richest men in America. Well, he dies in 1919, and he gave one of his relatives $1 million in the will. Now, $1 million in 1919 is a lot different than $1 million today. $1 million in 1919 has the purchase power of having $17 million today. So here's a man who gave a family member $17 million. He lived during his life off of 10% of his money and gave away at his death, or at the time of his death, he had given away $360 million of his earnings. He gave $17 million to a relative, and the relative was angry. He spoke ill of his relative who gave him $17 million because he had given away so much. He wanted more. He had $17 million, but he wanted more, and he was angry that he only got $17 million worth of money. Who is like that? Like, I can't imagine that kind of, if somebody wants to leave me in their will and give me $17 million, I will never speak a bad word of you. You will be spoken of with great respect, and I would never speak ill of you, especially unthankful toward the gift that you had given me. But this family member of Carnegie was unthankful because of what he had done. That seems absurd to us. But then we start making personal application, and we start thinking about what God has done for us. And then maybe we find ourselves in the same situation. I'll tell you what God has done for us and is doing for us is worth far more than $17 million, right? I mean, God's gift to us is going to last throughout all eternity. Eternal life. And the blessings that go with that. And so it's that reason, I think, that Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 18, in everything, not necessarily for everything, but in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I've said this before, but when you read a passage in the Bible and is followed up by or preceded by, this is the will of God for your life, you need to sit up and take notice. This is something you need to be about. It's His desire for your life. And what is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you? That in everything you give thanks. How many times have we been unthankful to God for the blessings that He's given us that are worth far more than what I would say $17 million? Charles Dickens said that Americans are crazy. He said, we spend one day a year giving thanks, and 364 days a year are what we should be spending giving in thanks, and take just one day and be upset in it. You know, you can have one day to be upset, but the rest of the time we should be giving thanks. And we have it in reverse. We complain year long, and we take one day to celebrate or remember the thanks that we owe to God. So this morning, I want us to share some thoughts, share with you some thoughts on Thanksgiving. And I want you to see this in its proper place. Christianity is more than being right on a few doctrinal issues. Like, we got to get baptism right. Of course we do. We got to get the role of women right. Of course we do. But Christianity is more than believing the right things on some issues that are in the forefront at this time in our culture. Christianity is a way of life. And it's an obedience to commands and the will of God that may seem insignificant to a lot of people. And Thanksgiving is a moral issue that can keep you out of heaven if you're not careful. I want you to see this. Turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 1. You remember in Romans 1, Paul was trying to impress upon the people that we were all guilty of sins. And so he starts with the Gentiles and he lists a host of things that the Gentiles were guilty of. And they're all listed in Romans chapter 1, and they talk about homosexuality and adultery and all kind of sexual sin and murder and strife and deceit and envy. You read all those, but look at what he says in verse 21. They didn't glorify God and they weren't thankful. What's that doing in a list of these terrible sins? The lack of showing thanks is listed among a list of things that people will be condemned for. And then it doesn't happen just there, but you can turn over to Paul's writings to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. He says, perilous times are coming. Perilous. And they're going to be marked by this. This is what it's going to look like. We're going to live in a time when men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. Notice, unthankful, unholy. Right beside unholy. Yeah, that's important. We got to be holy, right? We got that. That's something unholy, but right beside that is unthankful. This is something we've got to get right, folks. If we're living our lives as Christians and we are not appreciating and giving thanks daily for the things that God has done for us, we are morally deficient. Because this is a moral command of God. And so let me share with you a few things that maybe I think contribute, make you aware of, make you more, you know, conscious of some things that make us fail to give thanks. We celebrated Thanksgiving this past week, but beyond Thanksgiving, there is this concept of thanks living. And we need to live with thanks. And that's the point I want to impress upon you today. So here's one of the reasons that I think we struggle with it. And it may be just simply thoughtlessness. One of the reasons we don't show thanks to God in everything is because we're just thoughtless. We just take it as it comes and we don't consider the source from which it comes. We get caught up in life and things fall our way and we just say, wasn't that gracious? You know, wasn't that perfect timing for that to happen in my life? And we give no thought to the fact that maybe God is the one who gave that blessing to us. Turn in your Bibles if you will, but if you turn back to Psalm 107, 106. 105 says, oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among his people. You need to give thanks to God. And the things that happen to you in your life, you need to be telling people that God has been gracious to you, that he's been good to you. when things happen to fall in your favor, do you speak of others of God's goodness, or is it just serendipitous? We need to speak of God freely and give him credit for the good that crosses our path. Look at Psalm 106 as well. Praise the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures forever. And that statement can be repeated throughout the Psalms many times. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures forever. I think sometimes we're just thoughtless. We're not trying to disparage God. We're not trying to exclude him. We're just not thinking. And by the way, did you know the word think and thank come from the same root word? Think and thank are pretty close together. And I see that that's the case. When we think, well, we will thank. But when we don't think, we fail to give thanks. I like the song. When we sang it this past Wednesday, you've probably heard it all your life and sung it all your life, but count your blessings. How do we do it? Name them how? One by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Every once in a while, sit down at your table, your desk, with your family, and just start making a list of ways that God has blessed you. Pretty soon you'll see that the problems that you have are so minuscule in light of the blessings that have been given to you. I have often wondered if God has placed people in my path on purpose, because there have been times in my life when I thought, oh, this is awful. This is terrible. Things are a wreck. And I just feel really down. And then I'm thinking of one instance in particular. A man came to our house one night, knocked on the door, and he wanted to come in and unload. And Kim and I sat there and listened to him as he shared all of his problems and all of the things that had happened to him. And we had just been having a conversation about how kind of bummed out we were about life and some of the things that had happened to us. And when that man left, I was thankful. I didn't have anything to complain about. My problems were petty in comparison to what some people have to go through. And we had been thoughtless. I, in particular, had been thoughtless for not giving thanks to God and focusing just on the problems. What I needed to do is count my blessings. And you know what I find interesting too? In counting your blessings, here's what we do. We go, okay, well, there's this that happened to me that was good, and there's this that was good, and this and that. We name all the good things that have happened to us, but, you know, we need to give thought to this concept. We can't name them because we don't know what they are. But how many things in your life has God stopped from happening to you that would have wrecked you? Have you ever thought of that? I don't have any idea how many disasters God has kept me from. But I believe he has. Because he's provident. Because of his providence. And that brings up a whole new level of thanksgiving that we should be offering to God. Not only has he given us, but he has withheld from us things that would not have been good for us. Man, we need to be more thoughtful. The second reason we sometimes are unthankful is because of faithlessness. I think if we had the faith that we should have, thanksgiving would be an immediate response. It would be the first thing we think of. When something good happens, it's immediately our thoughts go to God. But maybe our thoughts go to our own efforts, our own work ethic, our own resources. If that's the case, we don't have the faith that we should have. If one lacks faith in God, why would he be thankful? If one has the attitude that he's gotten where he is because he's pulled himself up by his own bootstraps, then why would he stop or pause to give thanks to God if he had done it all himself anyway? I think the depth of our faith might be able to be gauged by how thankful we are to God. I know we say a lot of prayers, and a lot of our prayers are, Lord, please be with my loved ones. Please forgive me of my sins. Please do this. Please do that. But have you ever prayed a prayer that you never asked for anything? You just said, thank you. Maybe we should start sprinkling our prayers with those kinds of prayers where we just acknowledge our helplessness without God and how thankful we are that He is our God. And the third thing is discontentment. Sometimes we are not thankful to God because we're discontented with our station in life. We may have always wanted to be rich, and I'm not rich. We may always wanted to have been healthy, and I'm not healthy. We may always want, you know, whatever it is, there's discontentment. We were talking about Thanksgiving last Sunday in our Bible class, and I was telling about how that when I was a kid, you can see how this process goes on with discontentment. I had this little red tricycle and I was really proud of it. And I would ride it. There was a sidewalk break and people lived down the sidewalk and I lived on the church complex, you know, in the house right next. And we had our sidewalk and I would meet this boy right at the crack and we'd turn around and ride our bikes the other way and we'd just meet and turn around. But he had a two-wheeler and I was still on my tricycle. That wasn't going to do anymore. I was dissatisfied with my red tricycle. So I asked for a bike and pretty soon I got this bike with training wheels and his did too. But then he took his off and I had this bike with training wheels and I felt incompetent. And so I had to get those training wheels off my bike. And then when I got that, he got a 10 speed. And I didn't have a 10 speed. I just had my Huffy cheater slick with my banana seat, you know, and my handlebars up. And so I had to get a 10 speed. Went off to college and my parents surprised me. I went to college without a car, but on Thanksgiving we met my aunt and uncle in Louisville at their house. And my parents brought down a car for me. They had purchased a car with my own money that I didn't know about. But they had purchased a car for me. A 1973 Dodge Dart puke green. But I loved it. I was so thankful for it. It had an 8-track tape player in it. You know, and you could stick those in there and they put some speakers in the back for me I love my 73 Dodge Dart. Then I got to college and this guy comes in with the 280ZX, Datsun 280ZX. And then I wasn't satisfied with it. Do you see how that can just keep going? You have these things that you could be satisfied with, content with. Then you start looking around at other people and what they have, and all of a sudden you lose your contentment. The Apostle Paul said, I have learned in whatever state I am in to be content. God has given me more than I deserve. And you think of Paul's life as a former persecutor and blasphemer and murderer, and what he did to those families in Jerusalem as he ripped them from their homes and hauled them off. The screams that he must have heard from those children that were afraid. And God forgave them. How thankful do you think that ran deeply within Paul? Would it not have? We too need to experience that thanksgiving that comes with contentment. I may never have what other people have, but I need to learn to be content. You know, we talk about Thanksgiving and we go back to the pilgrims and everything, and I think there's something noteworthy there. There were 102 pilgrims on the Mayflower that started their voyage to the United States. Did you know that 46 of them died on their journey? And did you know that of the women, only 5 women survived that journey to the United, to what would become the United States? Think about what that means. That means that there were a whole lot of men who became widowers during that pilgrimage to the United States. And these men who had sacrificed so much and lost their spouse are giving thanks, you know, having this celebration of Thanksgiving. Don't let circumstances rob you of contentment. You have far more blessings because of your relationship with God than you will ever, ever be able to imagine. I think back to the passage that was read this past Wednesday night in Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. Jesus comes across these lepers and he wants to heal them and he heals them. He tells them, go your way, go show yourself to the priest. And as they went, they were healed. And I picture in my mind that they were probably running or in a hurry. And at some point on that journey to the priest, they hadn't been healed yet, but it happens. And maybe they see their hand, or maybe they feel something funny and they touch their face and their face is different. And when that moment happened, one of those men ran back to Jesus to fall at his feet and say, thank you. And do you remember what Jesus said? Where are the 9? Where are the 9? There were 10 of you. Where are the 9? Are you the only one that has come back to give me thanks? Jesus expected to be thanked because it's right. It's a moral issue. And those men, those other 9, did not stop to give thanks. I wonder if God could be sitting in heaven still saying, where are the 9? Have I not cleansed all of you? Where is the thanks? I hope that that couldn't be said of us, but I'm afraid it could. And I may be one of the offenders. We need to give greater thanks to God. As we started, we will again end in everything. Give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. God's will for your life is that you give him thanks. And you may not feel the circumstances are all warm and fuzzy for you. It doesn't matter. God has saved you. He's given you eternal life. Give thanks. If you're here this morning and you're not yet a child of God, you know how you can show thanksgiving to God is to accept his offer of salvation. I know that he talks about in Hebrews chapter 10 how that there are people who rejected the sacrifice of Jesus. They walked on it like a dirty rug. You just wiped your feet on it. They trodden underfoot the sacrifice of the Son of God and counted his grace as a common thing. And they insulted the spirit of his grace. And he said those people are going to receive a worse punishment than those who lived under the days of Moses. Jesus died for us. The least we can do in saying thank you is to accept the offer that has been given to us. Carnegie gave his relative $17 million and he was angry about it. God gave his son and we may do nothing about it. Was that all? I'm not interested. If you're here this morning and you haven't yet obeyed the gospel by being baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, you need to show your thanks to God and immediately obey Him, and He will bless you even more. And if you're a child of God already, but unthankful in your life, and you never really connected how that is a moral issue that we need to, it's part of being a Christian. We've got to master this thankfulness. It is the will of God for my life. Have you been thankful? If not, ask Him to forgive you. And if we can pray for you in any way that will help you, we invite you to come to the front as we stand together and sing.